prayer. Okay? So that word devote, it's a really long Greek word, so I'm not going to say it too because I'll mess it up and you'll get bored. So, but it's a really long word that means to continue with steadfastly, to continue with day by day, all those things. Now, as Kiwis, we've got a culture that is kind of, she'll be right, mate, yeah? So this actually rubs against the grain of Kiwi culture where we go, oh, shall I go to church today? Nah. I'll go next week, make up for it, yeah? It was interesting, I was watching, we all doom scroll at times, eh? That doom word is pretty damning. But anyway, I was being damned, I was dooming. And I came across this this great little video, and it was, believe it or not, it was a Kiwi guy, and his house was on fire. His house is on fire. His daughter was videoing him, all right, and he was on the grass verge near the house. The fire brigade was there. He had jandals, he had shorts, and he had a beer. All right, and his daughter was saying, Dad, you're such a blooming Kiwi bloke. The point is, this devotion that the early church had is not naturally in our culture as Kiwis. That's my point. It's not laid back, it's devoted day by day to these four things. So this week, fellowship, koinonia, I can pronounce that word, the Greek word, of believers. It's the participation and sharing of life with fellow believers. It's the participation and sharing of life with fellow believers. It's not just coming to church on a Sunday. That's why we have house churches. That's why we have parish communities. Because we share life with others outside the church as well as with one another. The same word that is used by Paul when he speaks about the right place and understanding of communion. Because Paul says, to the Corinthians, is not the cup of koinonia, communion or fellowship, in the body of Christ? And if I had a cup here, I'd lift it up. We will lift up the cup later in the service. The Eucharist, or the Eucharist is communal. It's not just about us as individuals coming to the altar. It's about our relationship with one another. That's why Paul is so big on that. It's not just about our relationship with God, that's important, but what also is important is that our relationship with one another is good. That's why Paul says, if you've got anything against anyone, or anything's got something against you, go and sort it out before you come to the table. That's why you're getting sick, Corinthians. Yeah? Does it make sense? So it's up and in with one another. That's koinonia. The first church were devoted to koinonia, with one another and also with God. So why is it important? Well, because the reading we had in the New Testament today, in the Gospel, by your love for one another, they shall know that you are my disciples. They is who? It's everyone else outside the church. So one of the main reasons I came to faith was I saw how much these Christians loved one another, and I could not understand it. So that's the essence of the message this morning. N.T. Wright talks about deep, authentic community as the core of the Christian faith. Deep, authentic community. The support of one another, the sharing of our joys, sorrows, our life stages, parenting challenges, new babies, losing jobs, celebrating getting a new job, etc., etc. This is all part of being a Christian community. Listen to this. This is Paul. He says, encourage one another and build each other up as you are doing. And guys, I know you are doing this. I see it. Daily, I see it. So well done. Well done. Keep it up, as Paul was saying to the Thessalonians. The writer of Hebrews says, spur one another along in love to love and good deeds. Spur each other along to love and good deeds, each of you. Not giving up meeting with one another. Now, as a chaplain, and I've been a priest for a reasonable number of years now, I hear a lot of people saying, I don't need to go to church. God's here. Guys, that's a lie. That is an absolute lie. Now, there's a lovely analogy of hot coals. If you're in a fire and these coals are burning, we used to have coal fires a long time ago, and if you take some tongs and take out the coal that is burning and is hot, and you put it on its own, what happens to it? It just cools down and becomes a black, cold coal, while the rest of the coals are burning amongst one another and keeping each other warm. It's a lovely analogy, the importance of koinonia. So we've established that fellowship and sharing of our lives with others who follow Jesus is an essential trait of following the way. Now, why and how does it go wrong? This is the fun bit. Okay. Kids, do you want to come on up here? Oh, have they? Oh, bring them on up here because we've got lots of things for them to do. I got the right person to do that. Come on up, guys. We haven't got the mat here, but you can sit around here because I've got a story for you. Yeah. Okay, any other kids? Well, I'm going to read a story. Okay, so you got the Sneetches, you got the Star Valley Sneetches, and you've got, he should not have that star there because he's sad. All right? So he put away the star. That was very good, Abby. And there he is. He's lost a star. He's sad as. And this is the reason why. I'm going to read the poem to you. Now, the Star Belly Sneetches had bellies with stars. The Plain Belly Sneetches had none upon theirs. Those stars weren't so big. They were really so small. You might think that such a thing wouldn't matter at all. But because they had stars, all the Star Belly Sneetches would brag. "We're the best kind of Sneetches on the beaches," they said. With their snoots in the air, they would sniff and then snort. "We'll have nothing to do with the Plain Belly sort." And whenever they met some, when they were out walking, they'd hike right past them without even talking. When the Star Belly children went out to play, this is you guys, okay, could a Plain Belly get in the game? Not at all. You could only play if your bellies had stars, and the Plain Belly Sneetches had none upon theirs. When the Plain Star Belly Sneetches had Frankfurter roasts, or picnics or parties or marshmallow toasts, they never invited the Plain Belly Sneetches, never. They left them out in the cold and the dark of the beaches, they kept them away, and they never let them come near, and that's how they treated them year after year, until this happens. Let's watch the video. It's up here. We've got some sound on that. We might have to start it again. Have you got sound, do you think? Do you know where the sound is, Daniel? It is plugged in, eh? Yep. There's, yeah, it's not there. Should I just tell the story? Okay, just play it. And anyway, this guy, Professor... Okay. But this guy, Professor McMonkey McBean, he comes along with his fix-up machine. And I'm not going to tell the rest of the poem because I haven't learnt it. But anyway, so he sees ability to make money here. So he goes to the Sneetches without any stars, and he says, "Guys, what's wrong?" And they said, "Well, you can see." He goes, "Well, I can do something about that." And he puts them in a star-on belly machine. And they come out, and they have, as Abby showed us, stars on all their bellies. So they're the same as the other Sneetches. Now guess what the other Sneetches did? Well, they couldn't because they're stuck. So how did they feel? Very average. Very average. So what they did is McBean thought, I've got another machine, and he got these guys together and said, I can take your stars off, and then you can be the original Snitches. And so they did that, and they came off. They had their star bellies taken off, and they said, we're better than you, and they kept their snooty snoots in the air. But then Monkey McBean says, I can get more money here, and he comes over to these guys and takes their stars off their bellies so they're equal to them. And then they all go mad. They're going in and out of these machines, and they don't know who's who. Isn't that a cool story? So when we talk about how things go wrong, we tend to think this is how other people go wrong, but this is how all of us can go wrong. And these are the sort of signs of what happens. We think ourselves better than someone else to make ourselves feel better. Because our own identity is not based in who God is and how he relates to us. So what happens is we get distracted from the main thing in church. The person of Jesus, the gospel of Christ, as taught by the apostles. And then the second thing is we become deluded about how important we are. We become deluded about how important we are and how important our own opinions and beliefs can be. I'm not talking about the orthodox beliefs of the church. I'm talking about a number of different beliefs. The third thing that happens is we only hang with the people we like. This is really, really common now, particularly with social media, is we just friend the people who affirm the beliefs that we already have. And therefore, anyone who doesn't fit into that, we see them as other, like the Snitches and the Starbellies. We only hang with people who agree with us. We live in a bubble. I know that God calls us to love and accept those we don't normally hang with. And I know that because it's one of the reasons why I came to faith. It's because I saw these Christians hanging with people. I was thinking, why are they hanging out with them? It was because there was something else going on deeper in their hearts. By their love for one another, they shall know that you are my disciples. Now, I've got a little challenge for you guys. All right, Kate's going to come on up. The challenge is you're going to think about the gifts that you've got, and you're going to think about someone who you don't normally hang with. All of you can do this. And what is one of those gifts you can give to that person? Just one person you don't normally hang with. And see what happens with that when you do that. When you find someone who maybe you disagree about something with, but you want to bless them, see what happens to your heart when you do that. So that's a challenge for the kids. It's a challenge for us as a church, because that's living out the gospel. Now, as they do that, I'm going to give you a few clues as to how we can do that. I know that God calls us to love and accept those we don't normally hang with because who Jesus was. He's the prototype human being. In other words, the perfect human being. I know that God calls us to love and accept those who don't normally hang with us because of the apostles and their words and their lives. I know God calls us to love and accept those who we don't normally hang with because of God's word. I know God calls us to love and accept those we don't normally hang with because of you guys, my brothers and sisters in faith. I see you doing it. It challenges me. I'm going to give you a tip for living the Christian faith. Look for those you respect and admire in the faith. Look for them. Some of them might be passed away. If they're alive, develop a relationship with them. Look for people you respect and admire in the faith. Hang with them. The second thing is honor everyone else in the church, the wide church. Does that make sense? Yeah? It's a pretty challenging thing. It's simple. Now, how can we do that? Well, we can speak about people well. It's our attitude towards them. We speak well to them. We bless them. The big test is, what do you say about them when they're not there? That's a kicker. Seriously, for all of us, that is a kicker. How do you speak about your brothers and sisters when they are not there? Because one day you'll be accountable for those words. That's scary, isn't it? We don't think about that, but that's true. This is koinonia. Honoring those in the faith who are in this walk with us. Not judging them because we are not God. So in summary, dedicate ourselves, do it day by day, to pondering the apostles' teaching and the fellowship of the church. Dedicate ourselves to meeting and sharing our lives together, to spiritually grow, to encourage one another in love and good deeds. Thirdly, beware of excluding others you would not normally hang with. Include them in your life. Include some of them in your life. Because by your love for one another, they shall know that you are my disciples. And the last thing is, how can we actively bless those we don't normally hang with? That was my challenge to you. Because when we do this, something will happen in our hearts. Let's come to a time of confession, because I think I need to confess. I don't know about you, but let's bring that up and do that together. Oh, Kate's going to do this. Sorry, Kate. If I could ask the band to come.
This confession has some hand actions that go with it. And the reason that we do hand actions is two things. One, it really makes you focus and remember. So when you use your hands as well, it helps you to concentrate and help your mind focus in. And also, it is an act of whole body worship, which is also really important. So join me with this first. So first of all, we make a fist with our hands. We are sorry for the times we have got angry with other people. And so we ask, Father, forgive us. Okay, so point away from yourself with your index finger. We are sorry for the times we have blamed others and seen things wrong in others without recognizing how much is also wrong in us. And so we ask, Father, forgive us. Close up your hand and hold it close to your chest. We are sorry for the times we've relied on ourselves and not trusted you, ignoring your will for our lives. And so we ask, Father, forgive us. Put your hand over your mouth. We are sorry for the foolish words we have spoken, which have hurt other people. And so we ask, Father, forgive us. Put your hands over your eyes. We are sorry that we have deliberately chosen not to see the good things we could have done to help other people. And so we ask, Father, forgive us. Put your hand over your ear. We are sorry for the times we have not listened to the cries of those who are poor or who suffer injustice. And so we ask, Father, forgive us.
Thanks, Kate. If you'd like to stand, we're going to share the peace. Well, I decided to do this morning because I think it's a good time to do that. So those of you who are not Anglicans, so we do a thing where we share the peace with one another, and you don't have to shake hands, but you can do if you want. But you also bless me as well. So have we got the peace there? It's not there, James, is it? May the peace of our Lord God be with you. And you say, and also with you. Let us share the peace. Peace be with you.
To stop doing like COVID and stuff.
And if you'd like to make your way back to your seat, remain standing. We're going to continue in worship. Go for it. Let's remain standing and still as we acknowledge the Lord's table. The Lord is here.
The Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is good, is what we are made for, and it is our joy to praise and thank you, Father, all the time. You are our high priest who saves us when we muck up, and you have made us to be priests like you in this world. So we're going to thank you together with all the saints and angels, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Father, in your mercy, you gave your only Son, Jesus, to suffer death upon the cross for us, the perfect sacrifice for the whole world, and commanded us to remember his precious death until he comes again. So Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, picked up some bread, he broke it. My body is like this bread, it will break, Jesus told them, and he gave it to his friends, take this and eat it to remember me. He picked up the cup of wine. He thanked God for it. He poured it out and shared it. This wine is like my blood. It will pour out. Remember me as you drink it.
We drink this and remember him.
But this is how God will rescue the whole world. My life will break and God's broken world will mend. My heart will tear apart and your hearts will heal. Just as the Passover lamb died, so now I will die instead of you. My blood will wash away all of your sins, and you'll be clean on the inside in your hearts. So whenever you eat and drink, remember, Jesus said, I've rescued you.
We do this and remember him.
Therefore, Lord and Heavenly Father, in remembrance of the precious death and passion and the mighty resurrection of your Son, we offer you our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Amen. Please be seated. Can I invite the servers to come up, please? I'll serve them and the band if they could come to the front. Just a reminder, we have juice on one side and thimbles and wine on the other that's labeled. And we have gluten-free for you as well. Or you can share from the common cup at the table.